Sarah Covenant, the details of God's plan for reconciling the world to himself through the seed of promise were revealed to Abraham. Because of Abraham's great faith, his great trust and obedience to God, we know the Lord promised to him that through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Mankind needs this everlasting covenant blessing because mankind has lost their life through the disobedience of Father Adam. We first read of the Sarah covenant, a vital feature needed to fulfill the Abrahamic promise in Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 to 17. We'll read verses 19 and 21. This is in Genesis 17. Starting with verse 15, we read, "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her.' Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?' But God said, 'No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, for his descendants after him. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year.'" So we find that God informed Abraham through his promise that he would bless Sarah and through the power of his Holy Spirit would make her barren womb fruitful in order to conceive a child of promise, Isaac, who would be Abraham's son and thereby heir to him according to the promise. We call this the Sarah covenant. We see that Sarai's name was changed. The letter H, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, was added to her name. This fifth letter denotes God's grace and his Holy Spirit. We feel that the letter H represents this because one needs to expel air, the breath of life, in order to pronounce it. It would be pronounced something like this, Sarah. And I think you've all heard Hebrew people talk. You hear all the sounds. That letter H makes that sound when you say Sarah, which we feel denotes God's grace and Holy Spirit. Bible student expositors also feel that the number 5 is symbolic of the new creation. Sarai's new name, Sarah, means the princess, because this covenant of grace is going to give birth to the royal seed, the Christ, head and body. It is a covenant of grace and sacrifice. This is a spiritual covenant. This covenant, pictured by a mother, will produce children, a spiritual seed, the new creation, a divine family, who will become heirs of the Abrahamic covenant, which is to bless all the families of the earth, bringing restoration back to the human family in Christ's mediatory kingdom and back to a position of eternal life and covenant relationship with God directly, just as Adam once enjoyed. Paul wrote in Galatians 3, verse 16, that this seed of promise is Christ. Jesus was the first genuine spiritual seed begotten of the Holy Spirit. He is the first product of fulfilling this Sarah covenant. God's Holy Spirit worked a miracle in the womb of Mary to give birth to the actual or the antitypical promised seed of Abraham. It was not by Jesus' heredity to Abraham, but it was through his faith and his obedience in his great ransom sacrifice that qualified Jesus to be this great promised seed and heir of the Abrahamic covenant. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29, Paul reminds the brethren that it is through faith in Christ that now you are sons of God. Those that are baptized into Christ belong to Christ and then become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul attempts to undo the false teachings of the Judaizers. We remember that they wanted the brethren to return back to the law covenant, thereby rejecting the free grace that was offered to them in Christ. Therefore, to correct this error, Paul pointed the Galatians back to a covenant which was made 430 years before the law, and which then has priority over the law covenant. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul teaches the brethren that this promise is through Sarah and the Abrahamic covenant, not the law covenant. Paul begins this fourth chapter of Galatians through the use of an allegory. Here, Paul is questioning why the Galatians would choose to return to the Jews and their bondage into the law as servants. If they leave Christ, they would then lose their sonship. They would lose their heirship. They would lose the Holy Spirit, which they had gained through that Abrahamic promise. Moving down to verses 21 to 28 of Galatians chapter 4, the Sarah covenant is now discussed. Paul gives us the keys to proving which covenant will bring forth the church class through the use of another allegory. Paul teaches the brethren that Abraham's wives were types of covenants, referring back to the Genesis account about the story of Abraham and his two wives and his two sons. First, Ishmael, we know, was born of Hagar, Abraham's bondmaid, who represents the law covenant. Ishmael was conceived through the normal manner of human reproduction and needed no divine intervention. Second, Isaac was later born of Sarah, the free woman. Isaac was begotten miraculously by the Holy Spirit in the barren womb of Sarah, as was promised by God in the Sarah covenant, the vital covenant that was needed in order to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. The Sarah covenant enabled Isaac to be begotten and born in order to receive heirship of the Abrahamic promise. As a child can only have one mother, so the sons of God are only under one covenant, that being the covenant of grace. This covenant reveals God as the God of promise, which is entirely independent of man, and it is founded solely upon God's willingness and his ability to fulfill it. Thereby, we can trust God that this promise will come true. The Sarah covenant needs no efforts of man to reach and accomplish the divine purpose of developing this seed of promise. This promise to Sarah is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. We'll be looking at verses 9 to 14 of Genesis 18. We remember that as Abraham and Sarah were camped at the oaks of Mamre, three angels of the Lord appeared. They appeared unto Abraham and they gave him a very important message. We will paraphrase in verse 9. Then they, the angels, said to him, Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "There, in the tent." He said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." In fulfillment to the Sarah covenant type, we know Isaac was born through a miracle performed by the Holy Spirit of God in the barren womb of Sarah. Jesus, the true promise seed, the antitypical Isaac, was also begotten and born through the miraculous power of God's Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. Paul clarifies this point in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. Paul writes, "For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, your descendants or seed will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but it is the children of the promise as regarded as descendants or seeds. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah will have a son." These key words from God, the children of promise or the word of promise, are directly stated from this Sarah covenant. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11 also speaks of this promise, the Sarah covenant. We read Hebrews 11 verse 11, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised." Sarah then is listed as one of the ancient worthies, and this is because of her great faith. I feel her laughter wasn't a laughter of credulousness. Her laughter, I feel, was a laughter of joy when she heard that she would bear this promised seed. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul speaks of the Sarah covenant in verse 28, Galatians 4, verse 28. Notice that the same words are used. "And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise." Her covenant, then, produces the promised seed. This is why the Sarah covenant is vital to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. God's promise was made specifically to her. This miracle, because of her faith, occurred in her womb. The word of promise, the Sarah covenant, produced the seed which for so long seemed barren. This seed which was born would then become the heir to Abraham and his covenant of promise. Christ, the antitypical Isaac, then was the first product of this Sarah covenant, for it is a spiritual covenant. Going back then to Galatians chapter 4, we'll look at verses 24 and 26. Once again, Paul is teaching the brethren, and he's going to use another allegory. He says, allegorically speaking, that the two women, the two mothers, were symbolic of the two covenants. Hagar represents the law covenant, and Sarah represented the Sarah covenant. This vital feature needed to fulfill the covenant to Abraham. Paul teaches that Sarah is the mother of us all. She is the mother of us, the church, the household of faith in Christ. These are the faith seed. And Sarah then represents the heavenly Jerusalem, the exalted Jerusalem, the spiritual phase and government of Christ's mediatory kingdom. This heavenly Jerusalem is identified in Revelation as being the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 and 10. Paul adds to his argument in verse 27 of Galatians chapter 4 by quoting from the Old Testament. So Paul goes back to the Old Testament to prove his point. And we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 3. I know in my Bible, I use a New American Standard. This passage is entitled with the fertility of Zion. And it reads, "For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. We know that the product of the Sarah covenant, who will then become heirs to the Abrahamic covenant, are going to inherit the earth. All of mankind will be their children. Life will come from Christ, head and body. And in comparison to the law covenant, there is a lack of children, for we know that the law covenant did not produce any blessing of children at all. The woman of Zion is another symbol for the spiritual phase of the kingdom. The barren woman here is obviously speaking about Sarah, the Sarah covenant that she represents. We know that this covenant was for a long time barren. The law covenant, who the scriptures tell us whose husband was God, seemingly took the place of this promise to Abraham. And the law covenant seemingly produced the seed of blessing, but we know that God rejected it. Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 and 2, also supports this thought that only the Abrahamic covenant and the Sarah covenant would be fruitful. It reads, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was but one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him." Imagine, it was 2,077 years from the time that God made his promise to Abraham and Sarah before Christ was born for the Sarah covenant to produce this seed of promise. 2,077 years. It has now been almost 2,000 years for the rest of those body members of this special promised seed begotten by the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ, and that faithful unto death would then be born from this covenant to the spirit plane. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. Isaiah 66, verse 9 pictures this Sarah covenant. Here we have a picture of a woman named Zion that is giving birth. It reads, "Shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Or shall I who gives delivery shut the womb, says your God?" I feel this scripture is speaking of the Sarah covenant delivering the promised child, which will be Christ, head and body. Just as in natural childbirth, the head is delivered before the body that follows after. Just as our head, Jesus, has been delivered. He was faithful unto death. He was raised on the third day. He ascended into heaven as that promised seed. So surely, as God has promised, will all the members of his body share with him in that glorious change from earthly to the heavenly nature in the spiritual phase of the kingdom. So the head has been delivered, we know that. And I feel that the shoulders have been delivered, the torso has been delivered to the spirit plane. At our Lord's second presence, we feel that those that were faithful unto death have been raised with him. And at this point in time, as we look at the events happening around the world, I think it's the feet and the ankle members of that body are still waiting for that deliverance. Notice the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, speaking about the birth of the promised seed, Jesus, in Bethlehem. This is Micah chapter 5, 1 to 4. We're going to start in verse 3. In verse 3, it speaks that she who is in labor represents the Sarah covenant. It states the fact that the Jews were willing to persecute the promised seed, just as Ishmael had persecuted Isaac. We remember that, don't we, from Genesis. All Israel, under the law covenant, were to be given up. They were to be cast off until the Sarah covenant would deliver the entire Isaac class, the promised seed of Christ. We know God promised that all mankind would then be blessed with the making of a new covenant. Well, when will this occur? When will mankind receive these blessings? Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Paul gives us a really good clue as to when these blessings can happen. He says it is when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. This will complete the mystery of God. Then all Israel, he says, shall be saved. We're familiar with this passage. We know that the great mystery of God represents his church, the promised seed. So in other words, when that 144,000 have been begotten and have been raised in the Spirit, that is when mankind will receive these blessings back to life. Also, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul illustrates the birth of Christ's kingdom as a natural childbirth. Just as in natural childbirth, the birth pangs will get closer together and more severe before the birth of the child. Just as the birth of the kingdom will be, the world's time of trouble is going to get closer together and more severe just before the birth and the deliverance of first the promised seed, and then will come the deliverance of mankind in Christ's mediatory kingdom. Going back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, Paul is identifying the church, the brethren, as the antitypical Isaac class. He calls them the child of promise, which was begotten through the Sarah covenant. Just as God promised Father Abraham a child through Sarah, so an antitype, Christ and the church, are begotten through the Holy Spirit because of this Sarah covenant. It is this original promise to Abraham that God would, by his Spirit alone, permit Sarah's womb to bring forth Isaac after the flesh. And it is the same covenant that will bring forth the antitypical Isaac, the child of promise. Christ through his Spirit in the womb of Mary. Later, the Sarah covenant would, by God's grace and his Holy Spirit, beget Christ's body members, who will become sons of God, called in the scriptures his bride, the true wheat, the church, this faith seed. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, Paul teaches that Isaac was born of the Spirit. Isaac, as we have seen in type, represents Christ, head and body. Paul refers the church then as those born after the Spirit, meaning that the church is produced by the promise of the Sarah covenant, this vital feature which was needed to produce the heirs of the Abrahamic covenant. Galatians 3, verse 14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We'll quote from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Ephesians 1, verses 13 to 14. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So this promise of the Holy Spirit, just like justification by faith, comes to us through the Sarah feature of the original Abrahamic covenant, according to Paul. To summarize then, 1, by the grace of God, the Sarah covenant promised, by miracle, a seed which would become an heir of Abraham. And 2, by the grace of God, the Abrahamic covenant promised heirship for this promised seed, which was begotten and born by his Holy Spirit through the Sarah covenant. Sarah is our mother as God is our father, represented in allegory by Abraham himself. We know in the scriptures Abraham always seems to be a type of God. So as Abraham pictures God, we can see this in his offering up of his son Isaac. And what a beautiful consistency here in this picture Paul is writing for the Galatians and for ourselves at this end of the gospel age. The law produced the Jews who followed fleshly ordinances, and they attempted in the flesh to please God. In Moses, they were servants and had no heirship in the promises. In contrast, the Sarah covenant is based on faith. It produces those who are justified by faith, those who become miraculously begotten of the Holy Spirit when they hear this word of truth. And these then serve God in spirit and in truth through their faith and the pure intentions of their heart. And if faithful unto death, they will become heirs of the Abrahamic covenant when they are born to the spirit plane and will share with Christ in the blessing of all the families of the earth. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul concludes his allegory lesson of Hagar and Sarah, where he writes, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. Yes, Sarah is our mother." As stated in Romans 6, verse 15, we are not under law, we are under grace. Let us note that the covenant made to Abraham and Sarah was made by the Oaks of Mamre. The exhaustive dictionary of Bible names defines Mamre as from the vision. So Mamre means from the vision. And what a marvelous vision! What foresight the Heavenly Father had in his great divine plan. We remember that it was a 3-day journey for Abraham as he traveled with his only begotten son, Isaac, to travel to the Mount, to Mount Zion, in order to sacrifice his son. And I can't imagine how Abraham as a father, what must have been running through his mind over this 3-day journey. Revelation 13, verse 8. Revelation 13, verse 8 tells us that God had the foresight, he had the vision of sacrificing his only begotten son even before the foundation of the world. This was in God's plan. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that God predestined the body members. He predestined this promised seed, this antitypical Isaac, as sons of God before the foundation of the world was made. The scriptures tell us that Sarah was also a beautiful woman. And I think Sarah was a beautiful woman because the Sarah covenant is a beautiful covenant. In this present gospel age, it is developing beautiful characters in the spirit-begotten sons of God, the footstep followers of Jesus, as they are to grow in the graces and fruits of the Spirit, conforming their hearts and their characters and their minds into the likeness of Jesus. That is our job. That is a lesson I took from Brother Raphael and Brother Jonathan earlier. This is the job that we have to do, if faithful, to be of this great promised seed. The Sarah covenant will produce this seed, and it is to be a beautiful bride, which will be heirs to the Abrahamic promise pictured to us in Psalms chapter 45. I think as Bible students, we are very familiar with this beautiful Psalms of 45, where we see this beautiful bride, the church, the Jerusalem of above. She is now royalty, Jehovah's daughter, and will marry King Jesus. We notice in this picture there were beautiful maidens with her. We feel picturing the great company, also members of the household of faith. This beautiful couple are going to have beautiful children. First, we know the beautiful children will be raised, will be the ancient worthies. And what beautiful characters they had. They were certainly worthy of their future positions in which scriptures tell us they are going to be the visible representatives of Christ's kingdom on the earth. They are going to be the princes in all the earth. Sarah's faith in God to conceive justified her as a friend of God through this Sarah covenant. She received this friendship with God, not through the law covenant, but this covenant God made with her. So in summary, the Sarah covenant is a spiritual covenant. It is far superior to the law covenant. The Sarah covenant was needed in order to fulfill God's promise to Abraham. By the grace of God, his word of promise to her, the Sarah covenant, it will, one, produce the promised seed. Thereby, number two, this seed will then gain heirship to the promises made to Abraham. Sarah, Abraham's only wife, is the mother of that covenant. The Sarah covenant is an oath-bound covenant by God. We can trust God. God never lies. God's promise was fulfilled through Sarah's barren womb. God's Holy Spirit could only produce this promised miracle child. It produced the child of promise in the flesh, Isaac, who became heir of Abraham. We now know that Jesus was the first product of God's word of promise, the Sarah covenant. His birth as a perfect man was through a miracle performed by God's Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. Through consecration and faithfulness, Jesus became that one seed and heir according to the Abrahamic covenant. He fulfilled the law perfect. Now, in the gospel age, by the grace of God, we have all been called. We can now be counted as part of that promised seed of blessing through faith in Christ. We are justified by faith in Christ. We then become spirit-begotten sons of God through the workings of His Holy Spirit alone. This is a surety or a down payment or a guarantee of greater things to come if faithful unto death, in the spiritual phase of the kingdom. This is why the Sarah covenant is called our mother, as the Abrahamic covenant is called our father. We'll read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. 1 Peter 3, verses 4 to 6. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. The Sarah covenant is a covenant of sacrifice. We become members of the promised seed and heirs according to the promise as members of Christ's body through consecration, a willingness to be baptized into his death and to present ourselves to God as living sacrifices, being obedient and submissive to God. We know that Isaac and Jesus were submissive when they were presented on the altar of sacrifice. Do you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? Isaac was about 20 years of age. He easily could have outmuscled his 100-year-old father to escape off that altar of sacrifice when Abraham raised that knife. So too Jesus was submissive, for he could have called 12 legions of angels before being hung on the cross. The Sarah covenant is a beautiful covenant, which is solely the work of God's will and efforts, not of man. Any hope of inheriting the blessings of Abraham rests exclusively upon the grace bestowed upon us by God. This is the means by which we are gathered here today. For we know now is the acceptable time. We are still in that gospel age. Paul tells us that the world is still waiting. They are awaiting for the revealing. They are awaiting for the birth of the Spirit-begotten sons of God. We know that the mother of Zion is still travailing and will in due time give birth to this promised seed. This seed will be heirs of the Abrahamic covenant. This will begin the blessings of all the families of the earth in Christ's mediatory kingdom, where they will have the opportunity of raising the dead, restoring the earth back to Edenic garden, back to direct personal covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father, just as Adam enjoyed. This is the vision, that long predestined plan of God that he saw, and the reason for making this Sarah and Abrahamic covenant, which he confirmed by his oath. We will close with the faith-strengthening words of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we can trust God fully. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So we praise the Heavenly Father for this grace that has been bestowed to us. May God bless all the consecrated hearts here today and our brethren throughout the world as we strive to be faithful to that heavenly vision which God has shown us, and to be faithful to this covenant of sacrifice. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. Let us continue to make every effort, as Brother Raphael and Brother John were teaching us earlier. We have a job to do. We have a house to build. And let's make every effort we can to conform our hearts and our minds and our characters into the image of our beautiful head, Jesus, the promised seed, which was produced by the Sarah covenant and through his faithfulness became heir of the Abrahamic covenant, who is going to bless all the families of the earth. May the Lord add his blessing and overrule anything said amiss.